How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Good. Why are y'all repeating crazy. Each other?
We're not. We're trying to talk in sync.
That's weird. That's weird. Why are y'all doing that?
I don't know. He started doing it.
He's going to get punched if he keeps doing that.
I saw your energy drink, and for a minute there, I thought it said carnita flavored.
Carnita?
It was carnitine.
You racist.
What? Carnita is Spanish for pork, isn't it?
It's true. Jeez. I'm just messing with you.
I kill you.
I took the chance. I took the first opportunity.
Your long kills people.
Okay? Yeah.
So don't.
I kill you.
Just say okay.
If you're listening, sorry. Please don't check his backyard.
Yeah. Or it's
they probably deserved it.
Ground.
It's like that guy that got arrested because he was hunting down pedophiles and offing them.
Whoa! I was making a joke. Okay. Whoa, then.
Are you talking about Chris Hansen?
I could see Long as the Punisher. He's like the Punisher. He just collects Godzilla toys as a, you know, alter ego kind of thing.
Now I collect model kits.
Yes.
Behind the scenes.
Is that a model of a bazooka? You're going to put it together?
No, I'm... Like, it's more intricate, unfortunately.
More intricate than a...
more intricate.
Yeah.
Intricate.
I'm talking about warships. Yeah, with turrets and little AA guns and radar dishes and railings.
Railings.
Yeah. So, and a couple of tanks here and there. And
sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. I think. Speaking of Godzilla, I was at my brother this week had his kidney transplant.
Yeah. Congrats.
He's doing well. So I went last night. I was up at the hospital visiting him. He's right next door to Texas Shorts. He's a Methodist in Texas Shorts. And they have this exhibit in there, like this train exhibit. And that's where I sent y'all the picture of Godzilla. They have like this giant Godzilla like on this train thing. It wasn't there a few years ago when I was there. And it was kind of cool. And I was like, it's kind of cool.
Seeing that.
Attacking the trains. And I was thinking like, what's a children's hospital? But it's not a scary Godzilla, but you know, so. I hope it doesn't freak some kid out going, why is Godzilla attacking everything? No, it's kind of cool. But yeah, it was kind of neat.
That is neat. I think I remember that.
It was like a really huge Godzilla, and I was like, this is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that section in the hospital.
Yeah, one of them was working. It seemed like some of the trains weren't working right yesterday, but the kids enjoyed checking it out. So,
speaking of trains, today I went to the only model shop in Texas, in Houston. And they used to have 10 or 15 back in the day, but now it's just one left standing. And it's they sell model cars and planes and ships and trains and a couple of Star Wars vehicles.
I used to help my dad with car models. He always wanted to, every time he bought a new car, he'd have to buy the model for that car and make it. So we've got a couple Expeditions for whenever he bought an Expedition. And I remember him buying me a Snap-on model kit to start out. But
those
I can
kind of fun. Huh?
Yeah, those are fun. It's especially for kids. You won't get too frustrated, you know, because you don't have to color anything. You just really just put on the stickers after you snap everything together.
All I want is a Dodge Challenger one.
That would be cool.
Either a 70s model or a modern one.
Yeah, 70s.
They both look good.
Yeah, so. Very similar.
Models take a lot of patience.
Yeah.
Jedi powers. Yep.
You ever assembled one?
When I was a kid, yeah, I've done some.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while.
What types?
Oh, I don't remember. I know we put together some cars before, and I think I had a Star Wars one as a kid. I think I had a little snow speeder or something, if I remember right. Yeah, it's been some years.
What's your favorite vehicle in the Star Wars?
I've always liked the X-Wings.
Yeah.
I think they're cool. And of course, I mean, it's easy to say Millennium Falcon, but I like the X-Wing. Yeah. I like the Land Speeder because it was the first toy I ever owned. You know, I still have my original Land Speeder.
Yeah. I like the B-Wing.
Yeah. I have a B-Wing over there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was a fun, like, whenever I played Rogue Squadron, I always liked playing with the B-Wing because it was smaller and I could maneuver easier.
Yeah.
And that's why I ended up liking it because of Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, they're the snap ones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I can get one for Jake.
Yeah. You know where Nance Comics is?
No, I'd have to.
Yeah, it's I'm shocked it's still there.
It's over near Rice.
Yeah, it's over at Kirby and 59.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right by my plant.
I wasn't too far from there yesterday.
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
They used to be in the Rice Village, and then they moved the model shop to next door to Nance Comics.
Yeah.
They have an adult section for comic books.
Oh, Nance does?
Yeah.
I've been at Nance in years. I've been there before. It's been a long time since I've been at Nance.
I can't believe they're still there.
Yeah. Well, they have that built-in fan base that shops right there. Yeah. You got to think about it, in that community, in that area, there's not a Bedrock near it. You got to go way down West Arm for Bedrock. Mm-hmm. So I think Nan's has been able to keep that niche market right there in that area, in the university area and everything. Yeah, so I think they've done well.
I was tempted to drop by Third Planet, but I was like, no, I got to keep driving.
Yeah. Third Planet, where you can find a lot of shit, but you're going to pay more.
Yeah. I was over there and G&G model shop, and I bought the model kit for the USS Hornet, the World War II carrier.
Okay.
And USS Washington, the battleship. And then online, I bought the Yamato, the Congo, what else? A U-boat.
Oh, nice.
I was like, okay, stop it.
Just get them all. Man.
Geez, I'm going to be pretty occupied during my time off assembling these models.
Did you go buy Misfit Toys 30th anniversary sale yesterday?
I did.
I was going to, but I ended up at the hospital, and once you end up with family, you're there all day.
Yeah.
But I was going to try to stop by it. So.
Oh, they were there till 8.
Oh, I figure they were.
Yeah.
But a shout out to those guys who were, you know, we did our live show there a couple weeks ago, and hopefully another one maybe in August, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know,
we did a Kaiju Clash meeting, too.
Yeah. Got to give a shout out to Misfit Toys and those guys over there, Daniel and them.
Yeah, Daniel's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, real cool. We love doing our show there. And one final shout out to Winter for coming on the show last week, doing heavy metal. And there was a friend of the show, listening to the show, Pedro. He was asking. He mentioned. He said you guys sound a little nervous with the female. I just laughed. That's what he said. I was like, he called y'all out. He said. Log and Matt sounded a little nervous with the people on the show. So, you know.
It was more like just making sure that, you
our
know, we give were, her time.
Our mics were turned down low. That's why.
Is that what it
yeah,
was?
Yeah, it was the mics turned down low.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't want to interrupt her, and I wanted her to be able to say her piece. And I was like, how do I,
whatever
you know,
you say,
time
guys.
That, you know? No, I let Jackie know way beforehand. I was like, yeah, I was like, this girl, she's like some super vaudeville,
like a cooler version of
you know,
me.
Showgirl.
No,
I was like, she kind of looks
wait,
like your mom.
You had to clear it with the wife?
No, well, I just let her know. I'm like, hey, just letting you know.
You know, those Latin women.
She's going to be a female over here.
Some Latin women, they
and
get jealous.
It's kind of a big jealous. Deal.
Oh, Lord. Winter's going to hear
people
this.
Don't know
Winter's going to hear this,
and
she's going to laugh
yeah.
at that.
And she, and like, I looked, so the other night, I look over. And I'm like, oh, what you looking at? Who's that over there? She's like, she turned around, and it's Winter. She's like, she like Instagram stalked her, and she's like, she's very pretty. And I was like, okay.
But she's
I was
married.
Like, I'm not going to agree. I was like, because this is a trap. I was like, she's like, just had nothing but compliments to say. And that was it. I was like, okay, all right.
It's just say, cool, man.
Cool.
It's okay, Matt. I've hung out with her many times over the years.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told her, I was like, dude, she's married, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just some dork.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And so, good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah. What'd you download this week?
Oh, well, yeah.
Are we? Oh, we're jumping into
download
this.
That's
this
right.
Oh, you don't always have to start it all the
okay.
time.
Boom.
Oh, I was just making sure. What if I had something else to say?
Well, then you better include it and download
yeah.
this.
You better summon your powers of hosting.
Yeah, summon your powers of hosting and stop time.
There's a
time.
Baseball right here. It can end up in your eye socket. Okay.
I'll have to, if it gets stuck there, I'll have to paint like an eye over it. It'll be a funny story.
Download this. Well, I finally saw Into the Spider-Verse.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your verdict, Long?
I liked it. I liked it.
Acceptable answer.
Yes. What?
I'm just... Because I think it
stares intensely.
Because I have had a few people that I've fought a little bit with this film over, because I think it's...
Said it was okay.
Yeah, or... I think it's a masterpiece. I think it's the best Spider-Man film made.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer my Spider-Man. Why? No.
I think it's... there's so much... There's
version.
So much...
Anglo-Saxton.
There's so much self-awareness to it, so much comic book love to it.
They
but
call
it's
it
also,
Spidey sense.
But it's also for kids, too. Mm-hmm. But it's also a love letter to everything we grew up ever reading and watching.
Let me talk about the negatives I have with it first. It's just very few negatives. But I have more positives to talk about it, you know, to outweigh it. my only negatives towards the movie, I do like the style. but sometimes the style works against it to me. Sometimes it gets too over-stylized where it throws out too much information, you know. And that's bad for first-time viewing, but it's great for multiple viewing. So it's not a really bad nitpick. Although sometimes during like the slower scenes, the stuttering style of animation where it's not a very smooth, you know, just conversation or whatever, it kind of throws me off, you know.
Okay.
Kind of like Dragon Prince on Netflix, but not as bad as Dragon
Prince. But not as bad as Dragon Prince.
Yeah, Dragon Prince is like, it looks like they're being animated once every other frame, you know, and it's very distracting, but it's not that bad. But other than that, that's my only nitpicks, and plus I've been watching anime, so I get spoiled sometimes by animation quality. But this was done intentionally, you know, for that stylized, you know, because there are a bunch of, lots of information and color and stuff thrown onto the screen, and it's like, I hate missing detail, but that's just me. But going into the positives, I do like the style of the animation. It definitely sets itself apart from your regular, 3D CG. And I sometimes forget that I'm watching 3D instead of 2D, because I thought I'm watching 2D because the way it's styled. I love the story, the plot progression, the characters, the kind of a twist in the middle, and I'm really happy that the way they treat father figures in this movie, because you know, it's always like, there's always the father figure is always the villain or always the person that's not believing in the son or whatever, you know, but in this movie it's a nice fresh breath there where the father's being supportive as much as he can, and you don't see that very much in movies, you know, it's always the son versus the father, you know, or the father being the asshole or whatever.
There was a little bit of that, but in a authoritative, like a fatherly way, whenever he tells him, you know, you don't have a choice. It's like, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And then they kind of like, okay, that was awkward. Let's tidy it up.
How great of a character is Miles?
Miles is good.
Yeah. And they write him so well.
Yeah. He doesn't come out, you know.
He's relatable.
Oh, yeah. He's relatable. Yeah. He's definitely in over his head.
Yeah.
But I have a question, though. Is the Peter Parker, you know, the original Peter Parker in this one, is he the Tobey Maguire Peter Parker? Because they were doing a lot of...
I think they just had some fun with it. Initially, it's based on the Spider-Verse comics.
Right.
In some way, loosely based, where Peter is... I don't know if he was... I may have my information wrong, but he is either killed in the comics also, or he's lost in the Spider-Verse and they have to go find him. So I don't think he's supposed to be Tobey Maguire, but I think there were gentle homages to it, and they were having some fun with it.
Yeah, you know, because there were some pretty strong indications. But then again, the Doc Ock in this one is different from the Peter Parker, Maguire Doc Ock. So which I like too. That Doc Ock is a little
Elizabeth Octavius.
Yeah, she's a little weird, but crazy. I like her. She's a little quirky, and Kingpin, you know. He's a pretty good villain in himself, you know. You can relate to what he's dealing with.
I like how they draw him larger than life, too.
Oh, yeah.
Thought that was interesting.
Because Kingpin in the comics, he's just a massive muscle. You know, so, yeah. I was surprised he managed to kill, you know, the original Peter Parker. So, sorry, spoiler.
Oh, the movie's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it starts out very unexpectedly, that film.
And I'd probably give it a B plus A minus, you know.
B plus A minus?
Yeah. But it's a good movie. Also, download this. I spent all my day yesterday just rewatching one of my all-time favorite animes. I kind of hassled Matt about it on Instant Message, where it's like, "Hey, there's this anime series called Girls and Panzers," and basically it's sounds cheesy when you hear the premise, but it's a tournament-style anime where girls, high school girls, are driving World War II tanks.
I've actually heard of that.
Yeah. And it's a freaking awesome anime. I watched the TV series, the movie that it's based on, and a couple of video episodes, OAV episodes.
Okay.
Side.
Lower quality?
No, they're higher quality generally.
Maybe I'm thinking of old school OAVs.
Yeah, there's side episodes, But no, in Japan, when they release OVAs or OAVs, they're generally of higher quality because they're like DVDs and Blu-rays over there cost $40-$50.
Oh, wow.
So they want to make it as high a quality as possible for people to buy them. That's a general rule of thumb, that OAVs have to have a higher quality of animation compared to TV quality. Yeah, because I didn't realize how expensive they have to buy like one or two episodes per disc over there. Mm-hmm. Over here, we enjoy 4 to 8 episodes per disc.
Yeah.
You know, that's an expensive hobby. It's like,
expensive to be an anime fan.
Yeah, but not now.
An otaku.
Compared to then versus now, it's just, you know, Crunchyroll, Amazon Prime, or Netflix. Right. Gosh, it's just awesome. Pay a little fee a month and boom, it's all at your fingertips. But that's my download list. Aren't you proud, guys?
Proud.
Attributed.
That's why I was just letting you go.
Yeah. This is the first and last time, too, because I'm going to start getting into model building soon. Nice. So I can't really talk much about that.
You can watch shit while you're building models.
Yeah. I don't want to be too distracted, though. It's like, oh, dang it. All right, too much glue there.
I also rewatched Spider-Verse because it was on Netflix and kids needed something to watch, so I put that on. And been working our way through more Naruto. We're already, you know, into the part where Sasuke is about to go seek out Orochimaru and leave the village. And Naruto's...
How are you enjoying it?
Oh, this is a rewatch for me,
yeah.
And I enjoy it. I still enjoy seeing the series unfold.
Are you watching the fillers too?
No.
Oh, so you're just skipping to the major plot points.
Yeah, there was like a couple, like, there was the one where, you know, they have Kakashi's mask, and I was like, so I played a little bit of that for Jake so that he could see some of it, but yeah, a lot of those fillers I'm just skipping through most of the way.
You know, even though I'm an anime fan, I don't watch those mega-series Shonen Jump ones, you know, because...
Naruto has more fillers than DBZ.
Yeah.
And DBZ didn't have a whole lot of fillers. It's like, they would always have part of their episode mean something, at least. And then I have Naruto Ninja Storm 4, Road to Boruto. So it's the end of Shippuden, and you get to find out what happens at the end of Naruto Shippuden, and then it kind of tells you what Boruto's about. So I beat that. That was pretty fun. Boruto. I felt like it kind of went crazy.
That's a funny name. Boruto.
And I guess Sasuke and Sakura have a daughter, and Hinata and Naruto have a daughter.
Or
son. Or yeah.
Boruto.
And there's someone else in their crew. And then Konohamaru Sarutobi is their squad leader.
I'm just nodding my head pretending I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know Konohamaru.
I have no fucking clue you're talking about.
I know Sasuke, I know Sakura.
He's the little kid with the Hinata. That he taught the sexy jutsu to.
Sorry.
You don't remember that?
I only know the general basis. I have,
honorable grandson.
Yeah, I only know the main characters, but I've never watched an episode of Naruto.
Yeah.
But hey, man, hats off.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I'm a big mega anime fan. Like, if it's a mega anime, then I've Bleach, Inuyasha.
My Hero Academia is a good one to get in.
Yeah, I need Justice Smash, or is it Justice Punch? I don't know.
I actually started watching My Hero Academia, and it's pretty cool. I haven't run into any kind of filler episodes.
Yeah.
You know, because they're taking their time with that, you know. So, anyways. Fantastic animation.
And,
well, before I say the main thing I saw, I'm still cruising along on Dragon Ball Z first season.
How are you liking it?
I like it so far. It's pretty good.
What episode are you on?
Like the 10th or something. I finished like the first disc.
Is that the one?
So what's happened so far?
Vegeta or Piccolo?
No, Raditz. He's in the Raditz.
He's in the Raditz and Piccolo.
Piccolo.
Piccolo's in it, and Goku dies, and he goes to like heaven, I guess,
Snake
for
Way.
The afterlife. And
yeah.
Really weird.
Yeah, that's an odd journey.
And then like Piccolo, or how do you say it?
Piccolo
takes Gohan and is going to train him, and Gohan freaks out and like destroys a mountain or something.
Yeah. he doesn't know his he can't control his power.
And it's weird because like I have to put myself in that mind frame because I haven't watched as much anime over the years as I used to watch, and I forget that with anime it's sometimes really goofy and really serious at times. Yes. So there's a lot of really goofiness. And if they're like people dying and stuff, and it's like, but they're real positive because a lot of that is cultural based. You know, they believe in the afterlife and being reborn and things like that. So it's a lot of positivity too. Like, oh, it's okay, Goku. We're going to save you. But he's got this fucking hole in his chest and he's dead.
How are you going to save him?
It's just a flesh wound.
So you have to put yourself in that frame of mind. But I am enjoying it. And
that's good.
It's one of those fandoms I used to make fun of you and Frank for just because I never watched it. I just never got into it because it's hard to get into all these fandoms. You can't keep up with all of them.
Yeah.
You know? And but I'm enjoying it so far. So
that's good. Yeah, the that bond between Gohan and Piccolo is real important. So I would probably say that even if the episode looks like a filler, it means something right now.
They're only 20 minutes each. It's not hard to watch them all, really. You know.
Yeah, you're gonna blaze through seasons one and two.
So and then but I saw Toy Story 4.
I saw it
too.
And what a good movie. And yeah. You know, I was one of those that. A few years ago when I heard they were making 4, I kind of felt like, yeah, you know, do we really need it? But I wasn't, like, not wanting to see it either, because I will always trust Disney and Pixar with what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's a really good continuation of the story with a lot of really cool new characters. It ends perfectly. In fact, now I feel like, and long you saw it, you might agree with me on this, I feel now that if they do another one, you'll do disservice to a certain character in this and the way it ends. Because it ends so perfectly. Actually, I mean, it's spoiler, but not spoiler. I think everyone knows that the main two characters are Buzz and Woody. And if you do another film after this, you do disservice to the way their stories end in this, I believe. Yep. I think it ends perfectly. You need to leave it where you left it.
This was mostly a Woody movie.
It is more of a Woody movie than a Buzz movie.
And I watched it with my brother, and he's a little bit harder on it than I am. His opinion was... Woody got a little too annoying for him. He was got too a little obsessed with getting Forky back, and he was disappointed that it was not enough Buzz and not enough of the classic Toy Story characters. But and for me, I kind of agree. But I love Jessie for some reason.
Yeah,
she's like one of my favorites, and she kind of wasn't really in part 3 all that much.
I liked her in 3, the small parts she was in whenever she meets Spanish Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
And she tweaks it to where she can salsa dance with them at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
I heard that they took bits and pieces of Don Rickles' voice to use Mr. Potato Head's dialogue. Yeah,
they did. And then they also but Buzz does get a comedy moment in this, like he gets in every film. He does get his moment.
Yeah.
But it is more of a Woody film, but it's such a good Woody film.
Yeah.
The character that Keanu Reeves voices is excellent. It's really it's been an amazing series of animated films, maybe 4 of the best animated films ever made. I mean, that's saying a lot, but just the way you've cared about these characters and you've grown with them over 4 years, going back to 1995 when the first film came out, almost 25 years later.
I was in 10th grade when that came out.
And,
or junior.
And you treat these characters in a way that you care about them and they almost become real to you in a way that Miles Morales became almost real in Spider-Verse. You relate to these characters.
Yeah.
Even if they're toys, if you relate to them through their journeys, through you being a big kid growing up playing with toys and the way you had your imagination. And it's amazing what they've done with the Toy Story movies. And I think 4 is maybe one of the best films I've seen this year. It was perfect in a lot of ways, you know. I get the nitpicks people say at the beginning where he's a little obsessed with Forky.
Yeah.
It did drag a little bit, but it was necessary to the story too. At the end, it drove the plot, even if it felt a little annoying at first, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a funny story is I got the kids Happy Meals and Wyatt got a little Forky toy. So I took a picture of it and going, man, this looks like a tour reject. McDonald's responded to my tweet going, we're sorry, Mark. If you're disappointed, you can fill out this survey.
Are you serious?
I was just making a joke about it.
You should tell Wyatt that the voice of Bo Peep is the voice of Janine Melnitz from Ghostbusters.
Oh, he would probably think that was cool. He's still...
That's awesome.
Okay, we were in the dollar store the other day. He finds his Ghostbusters bag. And that is only bucks I bought it. But, like, in the dollar store of all places, Ghostbusters bag.
Yeah.
He's been so obsessed with Ghostbusters lately, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He'll gladly jump on.
In a way, this movie felt like... It wasn't... It felt like a side sequel rather than a full sequel.
Yeah.
You know? Because it really picked up immediately where Toy Story 3 left
off. Yeah.
And, I'd probably give it a solid B+.
B+?
B+.
See, I'd rank it a little bit higher. I'd probably give this one an A-.
Yeah. All right, A-.
I walked out of it very...
It almost made me cry.
I walked out very emotionally satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's emotional, but it's satisfying, too, I felt, you know. So I thought it was a good ending to this. To the
now it's downhill from here for movies.
Well, we have Spider-Man coming out next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Then which is why we're doing 2002 Spider-Man today.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're being cliche and doing a movie that ties in with something segue. That's coming out in theaters this week. Because, you know.
What nice two-wheel rotary vehicle.
We're never cliche, you know.
Isn't the segue like that, the mall cop vehicle?
Be quiet.
It's a segue.
Be quiet.
So anyway, we are doing Spider-Man from 2002, directed by Sam Raimi, starring Tobey Maguire, who was 22 years old when he filmed this, which still bothers me to this day a little bit.
Still better than Garfield.
I always felt he was too old.
He was a college.
I feel like
Spider-Man.
Garfield, though, the difference in him and Garfield is that Garfield still kind of had that baby face. And he was actually a year younger. I think he was 21 when he made Amazing Spider-Man. And but he looked like he could pull off high school, you know? Garfield, to me, always looked like a college student. He just
looked too old. Popular, though. Yeah. He looked like the cool kid. His Spidey was really good. I'll give Garfield that. I liked his, like, quick-witted, sarcastic, smart-aleckiness of his Spider-Man. But I wasn't sure about his Peter Parker.
But before we get too heavy into Spider-Man, though, you know, Spider-Man was a long journey to the big screen, going back to the 1970s.
Canon films?
Canon was late 80s, but in the 70s, they were trying to get Spider-Man made by a studio where this one guy wanted to turn it into a musical. And Stan Lee nixed that real quick. He was like, no, we're not doing this, because Stan Lee at the time still had a say over Marvel Productions. And eventually it led to the Spider-Man TV movie with Nick Cannon.
We should acknowledge the fact that Japan had a live-action Spider-Man series.
Yes, and that was all in the same era.
Yeah, that was in the vein of kind of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
But with Spider-Man slapped on.
That's cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's cheesy, but it's kind of cool. I mean, because...
Yeah, product of its time, you know?
In that era of Japanese television, you know, the Super Sentai, which is the Power Rangers... genre, Kamen Rider.
Super Sentai?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hear, like, if you say that, like, three times fast...
I know
fast,
you're going to say hentai. Like,
no, Super Sentai.
Because your mind goes there all the time.
It's going to make, like, furniture flow.
It lasted 41
like
episodes, and the same company went on to do the Power Rangers years later.
Does it say a production company?
It was the company behind the Super Sentai series. Tohei? T-O-E-I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Toei? Mm-hmm. Like Toei Animation?
Yeah. They also have a... TV production too.
Yeah, it ran 41 episodes from 78 to 79.
Yep. Wow.
Around the same time that Nicholas Hammond starred in the Spider-Man TV series here in America that ran two seasons.
Yeah.
And it actually had a couple of its... It had a TV movie here, and then they took some episodes and put them together and actually released them theatrically as films in Europe. They were, like, called Revenge of the Spider-Man and stuff. It was really weird.
I wouldn't mind seeing a Super Hentai.
A Super Hentai?
And then Toby Hooper almost made a Spider-Man in the mid-80s. The guy behind the Texas Chainsaw Massacre almost made a Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
The late 80s were the Canon film people. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand what Spider-Man was. They wanted to make a man that looked like a spider.
Yeah.
And again, Stan Lee stepped in and like, no, you're not doing that. Then the second Canon Films idea they had was a little more closer to Spider-Man. But again, Stan Lee was like, no, y'all don't get it. Stan Lee had saw what they did to Superman 4 and realized that Canon Films didn't understand superhero films, so Stan Lee pulled it from them completely.
Thank God.
Then, of course, James Cameron came on board, and it wasn't all rosy with Cameron at first. His first script was really weird. It had, like, Doc Ock and Spider-Man both had Spider-Man powers and stuff, and it was really bizarre and everything, and Stan Lee wasn't a big fan of that either, and they went in and they changed the script. And it was more closer to the comics. It was more classic Spider-Man versus Doc Ock and everything. And that film came really close to getting made until they went to ask for money from the studio at the time. Or like, wait a minute, we don't own everything. And Cameron had no idea. The Spider-Man rights were all over the place. Mm-hmm. And Cameron tried to use some of his Terminator 2 money and stuff to buy it. And it just couldn't work out. They weren't able to ever secure the rights. Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to star in the film as Doc Ock, which I still that's a little weird, you know. But that would have been cool. I think in the 90s, though, yeah. You know, and of course, it never happened. And Spider-Man at that point
needs a hand.
Kind of fell apart until Sony was able to secure the rights.
I want chill. To do with Doc Ock.
Oh man, I'm just Mr. Freeze, but Doc Ock. That would be, it's just gold. Just
someone
you
said
know,
that cheese. Batman and Robin is like the greatest.
If you watch it as a comedy, it's great.
Yeah,
you know. And then in the late 90s, Sony finally secured the rights of Spider-Man. They actually went back to Cameron and said, "Hey, are you still interested?" But at that time, Cameron was coming off the highly successful Titanic. Mm-hmm. He had moved on. He was like, no. He offered to maybe help with script and thing like that, but it just never went off the ground. And, of course, then Sam Raimi come along in 2000 and to make this film that came out in 2002. And that is the movie we're talking about today. It's 2002 Spider-Man. But it was a long journey for Spider-Man to get to the big screen. And when it did get to the big screen, it was pretty spectacular. I remember opening weekend being a big deal. I think
it's the
first movie to make $100 million opening weekend, which now is not uncommon at all.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a big deal, man.
Even adjusts for inflation, too.
Yeah.
That is included with inflation.
I know I saw this opening weekend. I don't remember with who, probably Mark Nassar or somebody.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, at this point we had X-Men. X-Men 2 was coming out later this summer. It wasn't out yet, though. But Spider-Man, this was the first time we got to see Spider-Man on the big screen, and it was pretty amazing when you first saw it. Not to use a pun intended.
Yeah.
It was amazing. But did you guys see this in theaters?
Yeah.
I remember sneaking my brother out of school
to nice.
Watch it. Yeah. And there were some moments in this movie that almost made me crack in laughter because it got a little too campy with the... but overall, it was definitely... It stayed... within, you know, the mythology of Spider-Man really well. I mean, it did the whole origin pretty well too.
Yeah.
And they didn't shy away from you know, great power comes with great responsibility, mm-hmm. you know, even during the cynical 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, they went ahead with it.
You know, Raimi was very inspired by Christopher Reeve's Superman movies and I think tit for tat, movie for movie, you see those similarities. Did you catch on that?
Yeah, I can see it. I think this movie's a little faster paced than Superman. Well, rewatch it the other day, I didn't realize how quickly this movie moves.
It's colorful, it's campy, but true to the source material. Mm. And then you go to Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man loses his powers, Superman loses his powers. We go to Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man turns evil, Superman 3, Superman turns evil. It's like, I feel like it's tit for tat, like he really was... Like, he truly was inspired, especially when
evil
you see...
Or emo, wow.
Yeah, hey, exactly.
Well...
And he didn't lose his powers in part two so much he, like, hit puberty or something. I don't
know. He hit, a wall block. But I felt like you could make that argument that, you know, hey, he was inspired. And he openly said he was inspired. Did he take that from it? I don't know. Maybe it's just a coincidence. But yeah, I mean, especially whenever he's running through the street and opening his shirt, that's very
that's
Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. So let me ask y'all too this, all right? Do you like Spider-Man having natural whips?
I never liked that.
Or do you prefer him with the gadget whips?
Was like one artist in the comics and the comic book industry that made that.
I didn't like it in 2002 when this film came out. I liked the scientific Spider-Man better.
Yeah.
Because it showed like you said, that scientific side of him, his, you know, his knowledge and how he applied it to his suit. I really liked that. I didn't more so mind it, but I felt like, you know, we need that other element of Spider-Man in there that doesn't tell that side of
him. I didn't care.
I don't care.
I didn't care personally because I wasn't really. I was more of in the X-Men Batman.
Fly.
You know, and as far as Spider-Man goes, you know, man, I really did get into the comics when the whole Maximum Carnage storyline went through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. But yeah, I mean, Willem Dafoe. He was a pretty good villain, you know, Green Goblin.
Good casting, yeah.
And I also can't forget the whole Macho Man.
Yes.
Being in it.
And
Bone Crusher, Skull Crusher.
And even a young James Franco, I don't really have a problem with his Harry Osborn in this. I think with what he's given to work with, he's fine. Actually, what bothers me the most, it's not even Kirsten Dunst in the role. I don't mind her. It's what she has to work with. Her dialogue, she may have some of those wooden boring dialogue to work with in this. And I don't know where they thought that... They get a lot right in this movie.
Yeah.
Throughout all three of Raimi's films, even if you don't like Spider-Man 3, there are things they're right in. But they don't get... I don't ever feel they got Mary Jane right in these. She's supposed to be spunky and fun, mm-hmm. and exciting, and kind of challenge Peter a little bit, like pick on him and slap him on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And which we get that from Zendaya as... the parent MJ in just a few brief scenes in Spider-Man Homecoming. It looks mm-hmm. like we get more in Far From Home. And you don't get that at all from Kirsten Dunst's Mary Jane in these three films. And that really bugs me. It's like I feel like she's so miswritten in these films. That's probably my biggest beef with the Raimi films. I just don't feel they got Mary Jane Watson correct at all. I just feel she's kind of boring, and she's kind of the damsel in distress in a way.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel that like they wrote her correctly. And it's not a knock on Kirsten. I had no problem with her in the role. I just don't think she's written right at all. She's better in Spider-Man 2.
She should have been Gwen Stacy instead.
Yeah. She's written more like Gwen Stacy. You're absolutely right. Yeah. She's better in Spider-Man 2, but everything's better in Spider-Man 2. I think Spider-Man 2 is the best of the three films. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoy the Spider-Man also. Like you said, it gets the origin right. There's a lot of things in it that are really well done. It's funny, the guy who's going to play Deathstroke, if they ever make it, is in this as Flash Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Mangelino, mm-hmm. and he's very young in it, so... And,
I wouldn't want to fight me neither.
And that was one thing. You have to really suspend your belief on this a bit, because there's kids in the classroom that see the webs cut out of his hands, he's jumping everywhere, but then when Spider-Man appears in New York, no one puts it together. Did we see Peter Parker do that?
Well, you know, 90s kids were dumber back then.
Yeah, I guess so. And then another thing is, like, when he gets bit by the spider, right? He's a really smart fucking kid, okay?
Yeah.
He's going to go to the hospital. He's not going to go home and go, I think I'm okay, Aunt May and Uncle Ben. A smart kid's going to be like, I think I need to go to the doctor. So yeah. I thought that was a bit like...
I was bit by a friggin' spider, dude.
You got to stretch it, I guess. It's a comic movie. Yeah. I started thinking, why would he go lay down? He's probably going to go to the hospital if he's a smart kid. Yeah. But again, this movie has that late 90s feel to it, even though it came out in 2002.
Yeah.
It's like Long said, it is kind of written and directed like a 90s action film where things move quick and they just give it to you, take it what it is. It's not overly explained.
So what mm-hmm. do you think of the mirror monologue scene
it was a bit weird at first because
it was funny at first actually,
and making Green Goblin kind of an inner demon of Harry of Norman's but the more I watched it, I got used to it, you know. It didn't bother me. And again, it's one of those things, I think an actor like Willem Dafoe makes it work. Another actor might not make it work as well, you know.
I remember sitting in the theater, and the reaction of the audience, they were kind of laughing and snickering.
Oh.
About at first when he started talking to himself in the mirror, and then by the end of it, people were like quiet. They did not even like
the cunning warrior attacks neither body or mind.
He turned it in his favor.
Yep.
You know, that's Willem Dafoe, right?
It's funny how he did kind of look like a Power Ranger villain. I know that's like a common theme, but it's like they had to change up the costumes because he actually wanted to do his own stunts, which was really cool. He wanted to be able to do his own moves.
Well, and again, I think this is again a product of that coming out of the 90s where the costumes were a little bit, they wanted to make them new compared to what they were in the books. They tried something different.
Designed by Alex Ross.
Yeah. And I think the costume actually is kind of cool. Looks cool. I think mm-hmm. it would look better if the mask moved a little bit. I think it's the weirdest part about it is the mask doesn't move. But I think the costume is pretty cool for what it is. I don't really hate it.
Yeah.
You know. But now I think we're getting spoiled now where we're getting comic book accurate costumes in all these films.
Oh yeah.
But the spider suit. But back then it was a little bit different.
And plus,
I don't really dislike Raimi's Spider-Man suit the way the design. I think it looks good.
Yeah.
You know, with the webbing on top, it looks a little more organic.
I wish the more of the fight scenes would have been during the day. I know the first one that we see whenever he's at the parade, that one's during the day, but I think they film a lot of the fight scenes at night or in dark areas to kind of cover up the CGI, because you still had that like downgraded CGI at that time. Yeah. But
The scene where he flies in and shoots the military bunkers, the whole thing looks real. Like, it doesn't look very good, even if it's 19, 17 years later. It looked a little like, it's kind of cringeworthy. Yeah.
But I know that it didn't look like they used a ton of CGI. Obviously, when he's swinging through the city, that's CGI. And that first Spider-Man suit really doesn't do that scene any favors as far as like hiding that. But they had to use a blue screen for Green Goblin and a green screen for for Spider-Man, and I think it was just invaluable having Raimi as a director, because he does so much like in camera action. He has had to do so many low budget films that, you know, he's used to doing everything in camera. Mm. And I think that's what made it work pretty well.
And you know who else? Another thing, like Rosemary Harris is still my favorite Aunt May. The role is there. She embodies the spirit of what I envision Aunt May off the comics. And yeah, Marissa Tomei, they went younger and hotter, obviously, and a bit different.
Yeah.
But the Spider-Man I grew up with, Rosemary Harris is Aunt May, and she's on screen.
Yep.
I never bought Sally Field as Aunt May. That was always weird.
Yeah.
But Rosemary Harris is so good.
I never gave a shit about Aunt May. I was glad Marissa
Tomei was a savage. It is Sunday.
But she does embody the spirit of who Aunt May should be. She's the conscience of the films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without Aunt May, you know, Spider-Man isn't who he is. You know, all the great superheroes have that person that's important to them that make them who they are. You know, and even if Long doesn't give a shit, he's like, I'm getting laser eyes over there. Like, move on from Aunt May, motherfucker.
Finish it.
Feast upon my field. There are no fucks to give.
There are no fucks to give. Nice.
But you know, this movie, you know, we did. A year and a half ago, we did the X-Men.
Yeah.
And we said that we felt the X-Men was the first of the modern superhero era. Because in a lot of ways it is, because it came out in 2000. But a lot of people credit this film as being the movie that really put comic book movies on the map. And I could see that, too, because it made a shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
It garnered a couple of sequels that, one, it's really good, and I still think a top 10 comic book movie of all time. And then a third one that's so-so in parts, you know. But I think without Spider-Man, maybe you don't get where we are now. Maybe it made Marvel realize, like, hey, we've got these characters that we need to get out there. And I think it may have led to Marvel considering doing Hulk films and Iron Man and Captain America and so forth. Because didn't Ang Lee's Hulk come out a couple years after this? It was like 2005, wasn't it?
I think.
And it was through Universal.
Eric Bana.
No. Was that the Eric Bannon one?
Yeah.
Eric Bannon, yeah. So, you know,
I never watched that movie.
That was a weird-ass movie.
It's weird. It has some really good Hulk scenes in it.
Yeah.
It's like his dad becomes the Hulk at one point. Well,
it's supposed to be like the Vanishing Man or something. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. It's really strange.
I was happy with the Incredible Hulk and the Marvel MCU one.
Yeah, I like that one.
The Abominations.
Yeah.
Abomination.
I like that one. It gets hated on a lot, but I actually like that movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And this movie almost had Hugh Jackman almost cameoed in this as Wolverine. That they had worked out a deal with Fox and Columbia Pictures that Hugh Jackman was going to cameo, and the schedules for some reason didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And he was never able to make it to New York City to shoot a cameo. But Hugh Jackman was supposed to cameo in the Spider-Man film.
That would have been so cool.
You know,
I wonder where they would have put him. They'd probably make it where he bumps into him and he just gives him a look.
Yeah.
Watch it, bub. And then just keeps walking or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe in the parade scene or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but didn't Hugh Jackman say that he might done Wolverine
if it's versus Hulk?
If the whole property was part of MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He said that was the one thing that he would consider coming back for.
Yeah.
But that otherwise the character's dead.
Yeah.
He ain't coming back for Deadpool, that's for sure. Yeah. No matter how many times, you know, Ryan Reynolds pops up on him naked in his bathroom. That was hilarious. I'm on my honeymoon, and he's here trying to get me to be in a Deadpool movie.
Oh, geez.
And Hugh Jackman's in a robe.
But it's good that we finally got Spider-Man on the big screen. And now, we have 8 Spider-Man films now since then.
Wow.
And then he's been in 3 other Marvel films. So, you know, well, 8 if you count Far From Home, which comes out Tuesday in theaters.
I totally skipped the Amazing Spider-Man stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I own the Amazing Spider-Man, but I don't have...
I own them just because I got them. The first one's worth watching.
Yeah.
The second one's not that good. The first one's worth the watch. I mean, Emma Stone, she does a really great job as Gwyneth in it, or Gwen Stacy. You know, Garfield is fine, really. I never really had a problem with him. He's on Tobey Maguire level. He does what he's supposed to do with the character.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a little darker, you know, than these films. But I would, if you like the character of Spider-Man, I would watch Amazing Spider-Man. I would skip 2. You're not missing anything with 2.
Yeah, I watched. You know, the Tom Holland one.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called again?
Homecoming.
Homecoming.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't believe it. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah, movie I like it a lot.
You know, yeah. And I'm. It's such a great movie.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton was such a great villain in that one.
Yeah.
The action was good. Tony Stark was a really good mentor figure as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm curious to see how Far From Home goes with Jake Gyllenhaal. I saw an interview today with Jake Gyllenhaal
yeah.
and Tom Holland. And Jake Gyllenhaal went off the deep end as far as like answering an interview question. He went into some kind of weird back history of the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah, he's been doing some weird stuff on purpose, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Holland was just sitting there like, okay, dude.
I think if I had to rank the Spider-Man films, I'd probably rank them Spider-Verse 1, Spider-Man 2 to Homecoming 3, then this film, Spider-Man 4th. Mm. But I like them all for different reasons, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the same way. They've all been, you know, something I like about them all.
Yeah, I have a coworker who could not stand Tom Holland.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I can't stand him for some reason.
That's weird. Because yeah. everyone is pretty much universally loved.
He's a DC fanboy, so.
That's kind of like, well, it's kind of like our former host Frank doesn't like the new characters in the new Star Wars trilogy. And pretty much universally, the critics have loved that Finn and Rey and Poe and all them.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm like, you're the minority, dude. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how do you not fall in love with the Poe Finn, you know, or combo
Tom, or Tom Holland.
Yeah.
He's perfect.
You know, it's kind of funny though. I mean, I think the older the fans get, you know, us, you know, the more the stuff we love change and
yeah.
kind of like, and I understand Frank's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
He and some fans don't want to change with the franchise, and that's yeah. fine. They want to hold on to what made them love, you know, whatever franchise they liked in the first place.
Yeah.
But they can't be young forever.
No, exactly. That's what we tried to tell Frank.
But
you know,
but Tom Holland was so good in the 8 minutes he's in Civil War. I fell in love with him. I was like, man, yeah. this kid's good. You know, and I wasn't quite ready. You know, I remember the big thing was like Spider-Man done right. It's what people were saying after Civil War.
Yeah,
I wasn't quite ready to say that. I had to see a whole movie with him in it. But I knew right away in those 8 minutes of Civil War, I'm like, yeah, this kid can do it. You know, I knew yeah. he was really good then.
Mm-hmm.
So your friend's just lame long. Your coworker.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, okay.
So
I have no energy to defend him.
So final thoughts on Spider-Man from 2002? I think it's still a pretty good combo movie.
It's a solid movie.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And except Toby's still too old.
Yeah, he is.
And they fucked up Mary Jane Watson. But other than that,
that's good that, stuff. Yep.
Is he in college by part three?
That alley scene when it was raining.
So.
I'm sorry, that redeemed everything for Mary Jane.
Oh yeah,
no,
yeah. Whenever like you can see her, yeah.
yeah
like I said, I don't.
She was a little cold.
Yeah, she was cold in that yeah. scene. And then they had to. Did you remember when Jack Black spoofed the Spider-Man scene with Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll I'll pull it after the show, but it's hilarious. He had to host the MTV Movie Awards, and he's like fat Spider-Man swinging down, and he drops in upside down. Everyone wanted to spoof the Spider-Man kiss.
Oh yeah,
I mean it was just iconic. So I guess that's the last thought.
Yeah,
that was pretty iconic.
Mary Jane Watson nipples.
Yep.
So let's do some news, then.
Yes, news.
Not much to go on.
Yeah, no, there's not a whole lot.
Yeah, there is something big.
What?
And if he doesn't say it, I'm going to say it.
Do it.
Netflix is going to work on a live-action Sandman series based on Neil Gaiman's famous comic book.
I did not know that.
This is an adaption they've been trying to get off the ground for years through film and other things.
Yeah.
And I've always said that I felt the Sandman would work better on television. I think HBO and other companies have looked at it before and it's never been able to work. Mm-hmm. But it seems like Neil Gaiman himself has time to be involved now. I think that was part of the issue, too, over the years. It was Neil Gaiman was never had the time to do it. Now it seems like he does. And I have a feeling if Netflix is involved, this is going to happen. We're finally mm-hmm. going to get that Sandman live-action TV series.
Sandman or we get a Death Note.
Yeah. So
yeah, hopefully we'll get something like a Stranger Things quality or we get a Death Note quality. Yeah,
Death Note
quality. Huge fan base, though, so we'll see.
I did see the Cowboy Bebop photo of what's his name? From the guy who played Sulu.
Oh, John Cho.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, John Cho. He had the Spike Spiegel hair. He looked like the anime character.
Oh,
that's awesome.
I didn't know it was a Netflix movie.
Yeah, it's going to be a Netflix TV series or movie or whatever the Cowboy Bebop. Final Fantasy is going to have a live action TV show too, apparently being developed by Sony. That's really all they said so far.
Oh, well, when you attach Sony to that name.
I know. I guess they, yeah. So, Paul Rudd has been cast as in Ghostbusters.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Good casting.
But, well, I mean, it depends. We don't even know what he's doing. They just say he's cast in the film.
Ghostbuster.
He's got to be.
He has to be.
Yeah. Do you have a feeling that...
Or a villain.
That Reitman, that Reitman's son is going to make this a Passing of the Torch film, even though he's not, by announcing casts like Paul Rudd. I think so, too. I think it's going to be some sort of Passing of the Torch
film. It's going to be Paul Rudd. Oh, yeah.
Which is what the first one attempted to do in a way with the females.
I would be surprised if any one of those ladies show up.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Somehow. I liked...
Kristen Wiig, her character?
I liked her character in the one with the glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty cool.
I could see that.
Yeah.
News was really slow this week, but... Taika
Waititi.
Yeah, he's going to do he's been asked to develop a animated Flash Gordon film.
Animated Flash Gordon.
Yeah, which is, we did Flash Gordon earlier this year. And we talked about how it's something that we think is a good property and deserves to be, maybe brought back in a way.
I don't know.
But I think animation might be the way to go with this if you can't do a live action Flash Gordon.
Don't you think Flash Gordon's a little old timey?
But it's cool.
Well, so was Little Nemo in Dreamland, but people don't talk about it because it's so old-timey,
Well, I want a Flash Gordon, me and five other people. Yeah. So, but,
Well, I mean, it has the opportunity to create new fans.
Yeah, so. And all it means is he's been asked to develop it. There's nothing concrete behind it. He's busy working on fixing going to production on Akira, mm-hmm. Which I'm actually really super excited about. Yeah. I hope he does that. Yeah. Justice, a live action Akira.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool.
Do you mind it having some of his humorous sensibilities in it?
Yeah. I didn't really have a problem with anything he did, like in Thor Ragnarok, any of his direction.
Yeah.
Just thought, really, the only scene in Thor Ragnarok that bothered me was the scene in the room where Thor bounces the ball and hits himself in the head. I was like, what? Yeah. I thought that was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
But other than that, I didn't really, I liked his style, making it kind of a, retro-ish, Thor movie.
You ever seen the movie What We Do in Shadows?
I've seen, one episode of the TV show. Yeah. And I'm like, this is really weird. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Yeah, just stick with it.
Yeah.
It gets better and better.
The TV show is so... it's so weird.
The humor... it's like, it's one of those things where you...
Okay, that's my thing. Am I supposed to laugh? Because I'm, sitting there, is this supposed to be funny?
What was your reaction when you first saw Napoleon Dynamite?
I hated it. Right. Every second of it.
And then... did you ever watch it more since then?
I've seen it maybe one more time, and I still didn't like it that much.
Okay.
That was okay.
Yeah. Well, I still kept an open mind, despite not liking it at first. I didn't know what the big deal is. Mm-hmm. But the more I watched it, the more of the humor, showed itself for me. And it was like, oh, okay, I get it. Okay, those one-liners, pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
The movie the original movie is pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot,
Yeah, the TV show had a bunch of, famous actors in it. Danny Trejo and Tilda Swinton and all these people were appearing in it. And I'm like, why are these people? Is this supposed to be funny?
Yeah.
It was just really weird. I didn't really understand what was going on.
I thought it had that low-key sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. But yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah.
If he gets his Flash Gordon animated movie made after he does Akira. So
he's pretty busy.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got in the news.
Well,
unless anybody else had anything.
Beth Chapman.
Huh?
Dog the Bounty Hunter's wife. Died. You don't remember that?
It's B level.
Those
C level celebrity.
Only
that's like Trailer Park Trash.
What?
Only filthy casuals watch that. Yeah.
There was part of her that was definitely not trash. Tell you what.
I guess.
I'll tell you what.
She's not trash. We're just saying the show is trash.
Yeah.
But what was that one thing? You've heard of the Wheel of Time fantasy novel series?
Yeah.
And that's being adapted by Amazon. It's been in development for a long time, along with the Lord of the Rings prequel. And I'm kind of looking forward to the Wheel of Time, because they said that Game of Thrones is more about, the geopolitics of medieval, whatever. And I think the Wheel of Time is supposedly kind of based a little bit on American history.
Yeah.
So I was like, huh, that'll be interesting. I'll see how that goes. But looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So, anyways. That's,
so have they started filming their Lord of the Rings prequel yet, or is it still in active
development? I think it's still in pre-production.
Yeah. Because I guess they're going to build a lot of sets, and apparently, yeah. Yeah. So.
Hmm. Well, borrow some from New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. I read that they were going to use some of the Hobbit sets again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they are going to use some of them. Yeah. So, yeah. So, that'd be interesting. So, that's all the news.
Okay.
Slow news time of the year.
That's it.
But Comic-Con's right around the corner, so news will be coming out.
Should be.
Should be.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, there's like two major studios dropped out. Sony.
Yeah.
And not Warner Brothers, but who else dropped out? Marvel?
Well, Marvel's... Well, the Russo Brothers are doing a panel. Marvel's going to have a presence, but not a huge one, apparently. Yeah. But Sony dropped out.
Disney.
Yeah, they're not doing much.
Yeah.
But yet, there's still going to be like a Star Wars panel, apparently. But I think it's because everyone's pretty sure we're getting the trailer for The Mandalorian at Comic-Con. So, you know, we may get something.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that so much.
Yeah.
With Gina Carano in it, man, it's like, okay, where's my money?
Gina Carano.
I would love to see her.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
I don't know what it is about Italian women.
All right, then. So next week's movie, man, we are going to do scale it back. We'll have to watch the language a little bit because we're going to do a kid-friendly film, but a really good movie. We're going to talk Brad Bird's The Iron Giant.
Ago, SATCOM radar detected an unidentified object entering Earth's atmosphere.
Invaders from Mars.
Some assumed it was a large meteor or a downed satellite. This is no meteor, gentlemen. This is something much more dangerous.
So... I guess you're not gonna hurt me, huh? This is unbelievable. This is the greatest discovery since television or something.
Hey, big metal guy! I got food here for you!
My own giant robot. I am now the luckiest kid in America!
Banzai!
Hey there, Scout. Kent Mansley. I work for the government. Now, why would you tell your mom about a giant robot?
Mom! A little privacy!
Sorry.
What are you talking about?
Where's the giant?
For some reason, the army is in our front yard, Mr. Mansley.
We must stop it at all costs.
Go to Code Red! Repeat, Code Red!
We've got to help him!
Hogarth, no!
We gotta hide!
Hey, stop! There's a kid in his hand!
You can't protect him, Hogarth.
Run!
Warner Brothers Family Entertainment presents...
Hogarth.
The story of a young boy...
Look out for the boss!
...and a giant from another world...
You can fly?
...who became a hero on this one.
You can fly!
The Iron Giant...
Which is celebrating its 20th anniversary, I believe.
Yeah.
1999 it came out.
I'm going to have to buy myself a sundae, because that sundae in that film makes me always want ice cream.
It's such a good animated film. Yeah. It's one of the last hand-drawn animated films to hit theaters and really make an impact on things. And it's a very enjoyable movie. Something that gets put in the player quite often, especially when you have kids. You know?
Yeah.
And it's on Netflix, I believe, too. Or it kind of goes off and on Netflix a lot. That's one of those where I guess they lose the rights for a month and it comes back. I don't know, but
Hogarth.
Yeah, Hogarth. But a good movie with the voice of Vin Diesel way before he was even famous, and I think he'd only done maybe Pitch Black at this point, or he hadn't even done that yet. Yeah, he voices the robot, so that should be a fun movie to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
One that I don't think I saw in theaters. Usually I always see a lot of these movies in theaters, but that one I don't think I did. I think I caught it later on. So. That'll be a fun one to talk about. Something different. We've been talking. We did adult animated last week with heavy metal. Now we're going to go more kid friendly.
One that we can watch during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice to watch Spider-Man. I watched Spider-Man the other night, and the kids were awake. I was like, wow, sometimes it's nice to do a movie that's not rated R.
Yes.
You know, that but way, that's okay.
Yeah.
So that's next week on the Rebel Radio Podcast. And until then, go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review. In any other app that you want to listen to us on, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all the good stuff.
Yep.
App, Google Play.
Tinder.
Podbean.
Tinder.
Grindr. Hey,
swipe left.
Two out of three of us are single, so, you know.
There you go.
Tinder and Grindr.
Yeah.
Go, baby.
Me and Log and I are taking applications. And follow us on Twitter at Rebel Radio Pod. We are 10 people away from 1,000 followers. We have to get there. If we don't, I'm going to cry. And you don't want me to cry on the show. That would be an ugly cry. It's weird.
Ugly cry.
I'm in a glass case of emotion. That's right. Hey, you know. And that's all I got. Until next time.
This has been Mark. You're Mark.
Do that shit, bitch. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Matt.
You motherfuckers. As always, remember, thanks for listening to Rebel Radio Podcast. And remember, just
go there and do it.
Do it. Find us on Tinder.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and this is Rebel Radio Podcast.